If you're easily offended, this show may not be for you.
But if you're into that weird fun sh**, you've come to the right place.
You've been warned.
Are you there?
I'm Chris. I'm the believer.
I'm Cody. I'm the skeptic. Okay, stories. Let's get into it.
Hello! Welcome to BSP Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast for two hungry idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast, and this is a full episode.
Yeah, so we found a really fun, cool paranormal topic, and we're going to share history and information and stories, and then believer skeptic for that. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned the beginning about hungry because, well, I mean, I'm hungry. But Chris made a dessert, and right as he was starting, he was like kind of fingering the plate. I know, it looks so good. Wait, you're already eating. That's not fair.
I didn't know that. So anyway, our topic.
Yeah, I'm curious if anyone guessed it from the minisode, in which, by the way, can I say how good that minisode was?
Yeah, it is definitely related. Yeah. New Orleans was the connection between the two.
Yeah.
And what we're actually covering today is Cajun folklore.
So. Yeah, so from what we've seen, the Louisiana Bayou country and the surrounding area is home to some of the most prolific amount of crap of anywhere in the country. And I think that's not super surprising, just given the area.
The history, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that voodoo has spawned a lot of different beliefs in certain things as well. And one of my stories actually talks a little bit about Madame Nouveau.
Yeah, and we actually came upon this topic because I was watching on Discovery Plus called Into the Unknown.
Into the Unknown!
And the guy, who the person is, but he goes to New Orleans to actually get into one of my stories that I will talk about today.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so I think, and mine, I'm doing one cryptid and then one just kind of haunting paranormal urban legend thing that I think is kind of fun.
Both of mine are cryptids, technically. So. Oh,
fun. So wait, is that all our intro? Did we get everything out of the way?
Yeah, I think so.
I got so sidetracked. So should we get into drinks?
Yes, because I already started drinking.
Oh, you have a drink and dessert.
Yes.
Wow. All right, let's do it. Go for it.
So I made today for my drink, it is called, because since we're talking about, well, Louisiana and the Cajun country, it's called swamp water, since the marshlands of these areas are often filled with a lot of swampland. So it is a non-alcoholic drink, and it has, I had to substitute one ingredient because I couldn't find it, but it was supposed to be green apple Kool-Aid, but it's Kool-Aid, pineapple juice, and grape juice.
Oh my god, that sounds so good. And it actually looks like greeny swampy. It's really pretty.
And on top of that, I also made a dessert called old-fashioned Cajun cake, it's a recipe from Cajun country, and recipe from Cajun country, and I tried to find out why it was called Cajun cake, but nobody can really explain it, just that it was created in the bayou.
Oh, and he made enough for both. This looks amazing. Okay, so the picture you sent me of it earlier, it was still setting, right?
Yes.
I knew it because because it was kind of more wet, it looked like a vat of vomit.
Gross.
But this actually looks super not like vomit.
It tastes amazing.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Like pecans, and you know, pralines is such a huge thing there. And this has like a pecan sweetness, kind of pecan praline taste.
Well, another article that I read said this was kind of their substitution kind of take on fruitcake, since they couldn't get a lot of those
ingredients
there. They used pecans.
Oh, good. Good for them. Mm-hmm. This is way better than fruitcake.
Yeah.
All right. So mine is much plainer. That's delicious. I went ahead and made basically an old-fashioned hurricane. Mm. And so that's something that is popular there. If you go to Bourbon Street, you can get a hurricane anywhere. And also, I made sure to use Captain Morgan's rum because he's a pirate. And one of my stories will go into a very famous pirate in New Orleans. So I thought it was very fitting. No, that's it's going into me. A butt pirate. All right. So with that said, I've never muted before, but I'm tempted to mute while you tell history so I can munch down on this cake.
So originally I was going to give you a history of the Cajuns and where they came from, but I didn't want to kind of, not that it's boring with those facts, but like it's a lot of history and I just didn't want to go into all those extreme details.
Right. So, and how do you do them justice?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which again, those can be easily found anywhere on the internet. So that being said, the Cajun people are French descendants that can be found in Louisiana, Texas, and parts of Eastern Canada. Since we are covering some of the folklore or cryptids and things of that nature, I thought I would talk about some of the superstitions that they believe in.
Awesome.
As all cultures seem to have, the Cajuns also have a harbinger of death. According to folklore, if an alligator crawls under your house, it means that there will be a death in the family very soon.
Well, that's the one that makes the most sense.
I was going to say, probably for the person who happens to discover the alligator.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, this is what I can get behind.
Yeah.
If an alligator eats you, you're going to die.
Yeah. If you want to protect yourself from the devil, you should hang a mirror on your porch by the door because apparently the devil is so vain that he will be attracted to his own reflection and he won't be able to move from the spot until the sun rises.
That is so interesting. So it's like the opposite of a vampire who can't even see their reflection.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to make a Trump joke there. Oh. I really did.
You're not supposed to eat both ends of a loaf of bread, and you should throw one end away, which I personally hate the heel of the bread.
I throw both ends away. Yes. Yeah, same.
If you do eat both ends, you'll not able to make ends meet.
Oh, I thought it was going to be choked on a coconut flake. It's going to be like you won't be able to have something come out your end. Oh. Like you won't be able to poop.
Yeah. You should not dig holes on Good Friday. If you do, you will find blood in the hole.
Really?
Well, the Cajuns are very Catholic.
Yeah, too. But and it's intermixed with that, you know, like the
African folklore. As well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Wow, because we always had to clean on Good Friday our whole house and mm-hmm. the yard. Yeah. We dug tons of holes.
No, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, thank God there was no blood.
If someone comes over and you don't want them to return, once they leave your home, throw salt on the ground behind them in the form of a cross.
Is that why I always see you out there whenever I leave after we podcast?
Whatever. If you realize you have put on your underwear inside out and want to correct that, when you take them off, you have to spit on them and then put them on. If you don't, you will have bad luck for the rest of the day.
What? Okay. Is there a certain place you have to spit?
Yeah,
like, did they like spit in the crotch or the ass?
I don't know.
And then it's like all wet?
Yeah. If you get bit by a venomous snake, to prevent death, you must race the snake to water nearby. If you win the race, the snake will die and you will live.
Okay. Hold up. So, you know, this is my education coming from my brother-in-law, who's a wildlife biologist.
Uh-huh.
That's actually the advice that will kill you. Like, that's the worst advice. Like, if you ever get bit by a snake, you never want to run because the faster you move, your blood circulates faster. You know, your heart gets racing, and that circulates the venom more. So, never race that snake. Oh, that's the worst.
If you are pregnant and have a bad reaction to somebody with a disability of some sort, this can cause your child to be born with the same disability.
Really?
So, like, if you give them the stink eye because of their disability, that'll happen
to you. Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah.
Another way to protect yourself from the devil is to drill a hole through a dime and wear it as a necklace.
Through a diamond?
A dime.
Oh, a dime. Oh, I was like, how do you do that? A dime. That's interesting.
If you make a face in the mirror and lightning happens to strike, your face will be stuck that way for the rest of your life. Okay. If you want to keep evil spirits away from your home, you should read the Bible backwards. But if those spirits already happen to live there, read the Bible forwards to protect yourself from them.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Oh, this is so cool.
If your right hand itches, it means that you'll run into an old friend soon. But if the left hand itches, that means you will soon get money.
Oh, okay. That's not what I've heard.
Uh-huh. If you want to get married someday, avoid mops. According to superstition, if someone mops over your feet, you will be single for life.
Does the mop have to touch your feet?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
And last but not least, if you live in the swamps, you may want to move because apparently living in the swamps too long will make you grow webbed feet.
Wow.
And those are just some of the strange and interesting Cajun superstitions. And again, we are armchair experts, so if we got any of these wrong, just let us know.
Yeah, we meaning Chris. No, just kidding. Wow, that's really, I love that. That's so much fun. Okay, that's a really good history. That's really cool. I wonder if that last fact was like the the spawn for Waterworld.
I've never seen that.
You haven't? Oh. It's like, you know, the world's covered in water, so they evolve, and some people spawn webbed feet. Yeah. Water, it's a world of water, but they people get webbed feet to swim. It's like, it's crazy. All right, so we get into stories?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first, I'm going to be talking to everyone about the Fifolet. That's my French coming out. I took 2 weeks of
Duolingo.
I'm ready. So to talk about the Fifolet, first we have to talk about Jean Lafitte, who is the famous pirate that I'm sure a lot of people have heard about. Now, I've heard of him, and I don't know if you have or not, but I don't know much about him. But what's interesting is that he was kind of a horrible pirate, but also kind of glorified. Like, I think there's statues of him. So I was like, well, what's the deal? Well, he's an asshole, but there is one reason. So I'm going to get into his history a little bit because it ties directly into the Fifolet. So
by
first,
the way, this is the best fucking cake I have ever had.
He's just munching down on it. It is really so good. It's good. So good.
If anybody wants the recipe, I can send it your way, but it's very easy. Just look up old-fashioned Cajun cake.
That's a good idea. Oh, we should take a picture of it too, and not in its vomit form, but in its yum form. So anyway, Jean Lafitte's life is actually pretty mysterious. We know some things and not others, and some are speculation. Like, for example, he was born in around 1780 in either France or Saint-Dominique, which is modern-day Haiti. So he's either born here or all the way across the world over here.
Haiti is a French-speaking country as well.
That is true. That is true. And little is known about his early life, but by 1810, he operated as a pirate in Louisiana. His main commodity was African slaves, because the United States outlawed international slave imports in 1808. So Lafitte purchased slaves in the West Indies where they were cheap and then smuggled them into Louisiana where they were expensive because of this federal ban on slave imports.
So fuck him.
So I actually wrote, so seriously, fuck him. So good sentiment. Now, then I was like, so why is he kind of glorified? Well, it turns out he did actually help the U.S. win the War of 1812, and it was against the British. Well, the British apparently went to Lafitte because they're like, oh, he's this pirate who knows the area, and he's kind of, you know, doing things behind the U.S.'s back.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jean Lafitte, help us. And Jean Lafitte actually was like, okay. And he snuck and went to the U.S. and was basically like, hey, this is what's going down. And if you pardon me for all my crimes that you probably have against me, then I will help you, you know, fight.
Okay, Trump.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the people, the first people, was like, fuck you. You know, I don't even believe you. But then later, Andrew Jackson saw, yeah, and was basically like, okay, let's go ahead and use him. And apparently, he fought, like, with a vengeance in the war. So he was actually, even though he was a pirate, he was kind of pro-American. So he actually helped the U.S. win the War of 1812. So fuck him. But that's why there's, like, statues and stuff.
Still.
Still.
It's as bad as having Confederate soldier statues up.
Yeah, right.
Get that shit out.
Yeah, get that shit out. Exactly. Now, so now we're kind of getting to the Fifolet, is that during his pirating, he operated around the, it's called the Barataria Bay of Louisiana near New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a perfect area for their smuggling operations as the islands and the bayous south of New Orleans protected their base. So that again brings us to the Fifolet, because if you're thinking about that, well, maybe he had treasure, you know, buried out there or something. And that's, there's a lot of speculation. Well, with the Fifolet, it starts off with, have you ever seen something at the corner of your eye, like a flash of light or something that you swore was there, and then when you turn, it disappears? You may have encountered a Fifolet if you were in
you
the
may
swamps.
Have a sty in your eye.
You may have a sty. You may have pink eye from farting. You may have encountered a Fifolet if you were in the swamps of Louisiana. A Fifolet is a glowing orb seen in the swamps there that are said to misdirect any unsuspecting people wandering the area. Now, if you follow the Fifolet, you will be led through mysterious passes and unseen parts of the swamp, but you will either never be seen again, or you will never, ever be able to find your way back.
It's now, kind of like the Will of the Wisp.
That's exactly. They actually say it's kind of the Will of the Wisp of the bayou, of the South. Exactly. Now, why would you want to actually follow them? Well, again, that brings us to Jean Lafitte, is that he operated in these swamps, and it's said that he buried treasures and valuables in the area. Well, legend has it that when Lafitte would bury his treasures, he would kill a crewman and bury that crewman's body along with his loot.
Mm-hmm.
The crewman was then bound to vengefully guard the treasure for eternity. The spirit of the murdered crewman would then arise as a Fifolet. So that's why people who see the Feu Follet would actually follow it because they think that the Feu Follet is going to lead them to Jean Lafitte's buried treasure, right? Now, people who have encountered the Feu Follet describe it as being like a glowing orb, so it's mm-hmm. floating, that is typically light blue in hue. Now, that's all, like, it's really creepy then because, like, yeah. you're going to follow this thing, but theoretically you're never going to find your way back, so you're risking death.
Yep.
Now, that brings me to a tale. This is actually a really famous story about the Feu Follet, and it's about two railway workers who encountered the Feu Follet near Lake Pontchartrain. They were awoken by a soft glowing light as it moved through the trees surrounding their camp. The workers, familiar with the local legend, grabbed their shovels before pursuing the Feu Follet, their minds set on, we're going to get some fucking treasure. Suddenly, the glowing orb sank into the ground.
Oh, crazy.
So that's the spot. The two men rushed to the spot and began digging at the relentless muck beneath their feet. Their shovel hit something solid.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And they indeed uncover a wooden treasure chest. And that's when something overcame one of the men. And fueled by something and also greed, one of the men struck the other in the head with one of the shovels.
Oh, shit.
With his cohort unconscious, the man began trying to pull the chest from the muck. But the harder he pulled, the further he sank into the swamp.
That's what she said.
Oh, my God. Gross. That's amazing. But soon, he found himself fighting against the swamp, sinking to his death. His partner was awoke by the screams and woke to see his friend's last moment as he was screaming in terror as both he and the treasure sunk into the ground.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yep, horrified, the surviving man fled the scene and spent the remainder of the night shivering in fear in his tent. And when daylight came, he returned to the spot with the treasure. But when he arrived, he found that the ground was completely hardened,
yep.
completely undisturbed, other than two shovels lying over the spot, making an X.
Oh, that's crazy.
Over where that treasure had been discovered.
Oh, crazy.
And that is the story of the Feu Follet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's crazy. Just like how they follow it and it's going to kill them anyways. He'll take you to your treasure, but he's going to make you die for it.
Exactly. Is it worth it? You know?
Yeah.
And I guess it depends. But I love how true history ties into this folklore. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So my first story, this is not necessarily Cajun specific, but it is a legend that is well known in the swamps of Louisiana. I'm talking about the cryptid known as the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Honey Island don't give a fuck.
Honey Island Swamp is located in the eastern part of Louisiana that covers about 20 or so miles lengthwise and about 7 miles across. So it's a huge swamp. It covers 70,000 acres. With 35,619 of those acres are sanctioned by the government as protected wildlife area.
Oh, cool.
So about half of it, yeah. It is said to be one of the least altered river swamps and one of the most pristine swampland habitats in the United States. Honey Island Swamp is so called because of the amount of honeybees that once lived in the area. Side note, if you didn't know, honeybees are Louisiana's state insect. So, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
That's a really good insect to have.
Yeah. Some animals that can be found in Honey Island Swamp are alligators, raccoons, owls, wild boars, snakes, turtles, nutria, bald eagles, black bears, and, of course, Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Nutria?
Yeah. Which I didn't know what they were either. They're kind of like beavers and actually...
Oh, I thought you meant like nutritious
plants. And actually, I believe you call beavers in Spanish nutrias. So
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So anyways, the creature is said to be...
I'm more interested in that than the monster that lives there.
The creature is said to be bipedal, 7 feet tall with gray hair and yellow or red eyes. It is reported to smell disgusting as well. Based on its footprints, it is said to have 3 or 4 webbed toes.
Oh, not 3 or 4 footprints. Okay, I was like, what?
It is known by a number of other names such as Louisiana's Bigfoot, the Bayou Beast, and the Wookiee.
The Wookiee!
The creature is often associated with another swamp monster of Cajun and Native American folklore known as the Letic. The Letic has been described as a human-like creature that was raised by alligators after being abandoned and wandering into the swamp. One legend of the Honey Swamp monster goes that in the early 1900s, a circus was traveling by train in the area that got into a wreck. From that wreck, many animals escaped from the circus, but it was said that the escaped chimpanzees bred with local alligators, which resulted in the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Wow. How does a circus crash?
Well, I mean, they're traveling.
Look out for that tree.
Well, I don't know. They're on the train. I don't know. The first documented sighting of the monster occurred in 1963 by a retired air traffic controller called Harlan Ford.
Oh, so it's pretty new.
Yeah. It is said that this is the first documented sighting, but that the legend actually goes back hundreds of years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Ford would often scout the area for hunting locations. In one particular instance, he found a spot that was so deep into Honey Island swamp that he could only go halfway by boat and would need to walk the rest of the way. Well, one day, Ford and his friend were taking supplies to this spot when they said they saw a large animal on all fours feeding on another animal. The two pulled out their guns just in case the animal tried to attack, and as soon as they did, this animal got on its back two legs, looked them in their eyes, and then ran off. In Ford's description of the animal, he said that it looked like something from a horror movie. After this encounter, Ford was determined to find the creature and eventually made his way back to the location where he first saw it. When he got to the area, he noticed some blood on the ground. When he made his way further into the swamp, he came upon a wild boar who was recently killed by its throat being completely ripped out.
Oh, shit.
Next to the boar, Ford saw the large footprints, which he later cast in plaster. He then took the cast to the game warden and to Louisiana State University for investigation.
Wow, that's smart.
But neither could identify the animal tracks.
Do these still exist?
You can see pictures of them online, yeah.
Cool.
From that time forward, Ford brought his camera, determined to catch the creature on film. Ford's granddaughter, Dana Holyfield, continues to research the creature to this day.
Wow.
She has made a documentary about it and has written a book called Honey Island Swamp Monster Documentations. When Ford passed away, his granddaughter was given a roll of 8mm film that he kept in his home and was labeled Honey Island Swamp Monster. This film had not, to that point, been seen by anyone but Ford. On the film was found the faint image of a large bipedal creature that from around 100 yards away. Ford's video can actually be found, or pictures of it can be found on YouTube, so you can judge for yourself. Other than Ford's account, I could only find one other short encounter story. A man called Ted Williams claimed to have seen the Honey Swamp Monster on many occasions, saying that the first time he saw the creature, that it was standing still and he mistook it for a stump. After
a big stump.
Yeah, after stopping to take a closer look, he realized it wasn't. And as he stopped, the creature started to run. He said that the creature was about 7 feet tall and dark gray. The next time he had an encounter, he says he saw two creatures, one bigger and faster than the other, that were swimming in the Pearl River. He said he tried to get one of the creatures to look at him, but it wouldn't.
I wonder how. It's like, hey!
Yeah.
Hey!
He said he could have shot it, but it didn't want to because, for one, it wouldn't look at him, and secondly, the creature looked too much like a human, you know. Those are the only two stories I could find on encounters with the Honey Island Swamp Monster, real or not. It's still a creature that many talk about to this day in the swamps of Louisiana.
Wow, that's cool. For so few sightings, it's crazy how big the stories and how much information there was about everything.
Oh, there was tons, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. That makes the meme that you posted to the Facebook group really appropriate about, you know, whenever you're getting a picture of something like a, you know, like a cryptid, make sure that your camera is shaky and your film is blurry.
Yeah.
Well, so my next story is about a creature called the Grunch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grunch.
Yeah, the Grunch, right? I'm like, that name. And I'll get into the name here in a little bit. But so the Grunch is a cryptid in that area that apparently has two different kind of stories or appearances.
Like origin stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was kind of neat. Now, the first one describes the Grunch as a goat-like creature that resulted from incest. Yeah. So here's the kind of the article account on that. So it said, it's no shock to us that the Louisiana area has probably the most urban legends of any state in the country. And the legend of the Grunch is just as strange as it sounds. It's based around the eastern area of New Orleans, and it tells of an inbred clan of albino dwarf people who live in the woods and eat goats and humans.
I did not know this. It sounds like that movie, The Hills Have Eyes.
Yes,
or
the story you told too.
No, the other one with Eliza Dushku, where they drive.
Waterboy.
No, where they drive.
I don't know.
Okay, it's another incest family.
Oh, okay. Well, so anyway, that sounds horrific, But they actually didn't
Wrong turn.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good to know. So that sound, they sound like a horrific group, but they actually didn't start out that way. But as a result of their seclusion
And their rumor, inbreeding.
And their inbreeding and a rumored deal with the devil, they turned out that way. But according to legend, there was a strange group of humans living in these woods that were this mix of albino and dwarves, but they were forced to live away from society during a time when people who were thought of as different were considered creations of the devil. So this is actually kind of a man is responsible for this. And I thought it was interesting. It's kind of sad because there was that true thing where every time we do Native American folklore, there's always something called the devil something. And it's because
the white man,
man named them that to paganize the Native Americans. And that's kind of like what they're saying is happening here.
Good verb, paganize.
Yeah, thanks. And that's kind of what's happening there. Because of the humanity's cruel nature, these people became a sort of sideshow for teenagers and immature adults.
Interesting.
Yeah, the locals claimed that their seclusion to the woods had caused the people to inbreed. So that's why, and combine their abnormalities to eventually become, you know, inhuman in appearance.
Oh, wow.
Right, and so it's really, really crazy. So the main thing from this story, if you see a goat on the side of the road then around this area of New Orleans, stay in your fucking car. Even if it looks hurt and you want to help it, it's a trick. If you get out of your car, the grunch will eat your heart and flesh. Now, you think that's crazy.
Oh, that reminds me of Black Phillip from The Witch.
Right? I don't know what you mean. I just said right to fit in. So the second version of the grunch describes it as much more like the chupacabra of New Orleans. And it also has a fascinating history involving the famous Marie Laveau herself.
Yeah. The voodoo priestess.
Yeah, exactly. The voodoo priestess. Now, in this account, the grunch is described as an elaborate cross between the canid and reptilian chupacabras. They say it can be goat-like, so there's kind of the connection, but it can also appear to have leathery or scaly black-gray skin and sharp spines with long horns or quills running down its back. It stands approximately 3 to 4 feet.
They're short.
Yeah, they're short. But this version is actually said to be more intelligent. It can have human-like skills, able to open doors and use tools and things. And that's why, can you imagine?
I picture him in like a tuxedo, like opening doors.
With a little pin like in his pocket. Well, could you imagine hiding out and locking your door, you know, hiding from the grunch, and you hear it like pull out a set of keys and like unlock the door and come after you? Ah! So it's like really kind of creepy. And it's one of those things where some people say it has bat-like wings, some say it has fur. Yeah. So it's at where it's kind of a catch-all, I think, for anything seen. Now, the one thing that's different from conventional Louisiana swamp predators, because that's what this thing is considered, is that this breed of chupacabra is said to drain all of the animal's blood and sometimes organs through a single hole. So it like drills a hole in someone and then just sucks it all out, right?
Yeah.
Now, what's really interesting is that sightings and tales of the chupacabra or the grunch go back further in Louisiana history than in other areas of the world. Mm. Its story goes back to the Crescent City's early roots. In fact, sightings go back to the early 1800s. Mm-hmm. And the legend of Marie Laveau tells of how some believe this thing came into existence. Oh, God, get ready. You thought the other story was crazy? Chris, you get ready for this.
Okay.
An old voodoo hoodoo story says Marie Laveau castrated the devil baby, so I guess the baby devil, when he was born, to stop him from producing more of his evil kind. So she cut off his balls.
Yep.
Well, his bloody balls fell to the ground and allegedly turned into a male and female grunch. And they attacked her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so she's fighting balls, basically.
That's insane.
So she's attacking these balls, and they're said to almost killed her with their fierce bites and punching.
Grunching.
Grunting, yes. Oh, my God. So basically, they overcame her, and so she fainted.
Oh, nice use of
wink. I'm so proud.
Nice euphemism.
And then, oh my God, it's the best. And when she awoke, the grunt, the male and female grunch were gone. And that's how they came to be in the wild.
Oh my God. That
oh my
is
God,
insane.
I'm dying. So if we're talking, and I'm almost done, but if we're talking about sightings, they're rampant. Guys, so many.
Really?
So many sightings.
But the interesting note is since Hurricane Katrina,
they've lessened.
The sighting numbers have exploded.
Oh, what?
Some people say that Katrina displaced the Grunch, and so now they're out wandering more than ever.
Oh, shit.
The rumors have spread so much that since Katrina, some pet owners won't leave pets in the yard because they're afraid the Grunch will eat them, you know, by poking one hole in the body and sucking out all their organs. And so now this begs the final question of why is this thing called the Grunch? Because, okay, here's the thing. The Grunch is like a mix between Grinch and your Gunch, which is your taint, I think. That's what I always called it, right? And maybe that's why it looks wrinkled.
I have never heard that.
Oh, really? Oh, the Gunch. But the explanation is actually really boring. It's named after a road. The first sightings of the Grunch were on Grunch Road, and that's why it's also commonly referred to as the Grunch Road Monster. People try to find out where this road is, and they say it's actually located in a remote part of eastern New Orleans, near some woods. Now, most people only ever encountered the Grunch by accident, but rest assured, if I did encounter it and I was one of those, my Gunch would be up in my throat.
Do you want to know what a Gunch is according to Urban Dictionary?
Oh, no, what is it?
Gunch, an individual performing the action of shitting and coming at the same time.
What?
Yeah.
What? No, it's your taint.
That's what Urban Dictionary says.
Well, that makes Marie Laveau's original story even more
worse.
Wild.
Oh, all right. Gross.
That's all I got.
For my second story, I'm talking about the creature that was actually the inspiration of our episode. Like I said, I was watching the show Into the Unknown that brought my attention to it. We also talked about it when we were guests on the podcast Spoop Hour the last time we were guests.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about the Rougarou.
Yeah. This is like the big one.
Yeah. So to get a good picture of how the legend of the Rougarou came to be, we have to travel back to medieval France. At the time, the French told tales of creatures they called loup-garous, which they often blamed various crimes on. Loup-garou literally translate to wolf, werewolf. So loup is were, and then garou is werewolf.
Werewolf.
No, wolf, werewolf.
Oh, werewolf. Okay.
Anyhow, in medieval France, much like the witch trials, people would be arrested and tried for whatever crimes or for being a loup-garou that committed such crimes. From then on, there was much fear of these creatures. For Catholics, during Lent, it was said that if you did not follow the rules of Lent for 7 years in a row, you would turn into a loup-garou, which is a very,
really?
Very, yeah. So I guess if you did it for five,
that's
skipped one, it's fine.
Yeah,
but
you can go six.
It's just seven consecutive years for, I don't know if that's some number in the holy world or whatever. Yeah, but
the holy world.
That was a very real fear to the French Catholics. And much like La Llorona here in the Southwest, the loup-garou was also used as a scare tactic for kids, telling them if they didn't obey their parents, the loup-garou would kidnap them in the middle of the night.
Mm.
When the French made their way to the U.S. and Canada, the legend of the loup-garou came with them. As you know, the Cajun dialect is a mix of French and English, so with that combination, the loup-garou evolved into what is now known as the Rougarou. The legends and descriptions of the Rougarou can vary from place to place. In one legend, it is said to be a person who was cursed, but for whatever reason, the person did not fully transition to a wolf and is therefore left with a human wolf appearance. In what I read,
so they like failed at being a werewolf.
Yeah, pretty much. In what I read, the Rougarou looks like a normal human from the shoulders down, but does have canine feet and the head of a wolf or a dog. It is said to be anywhere between 6 to 10 feet tall, with fangs and glowing red eyes. Other legends have described the creature as a ghostly apparition that glows at night or that can appear and disappear at will. Some legends even say that not only can it change its shape back and forth, but that it can take form of other animals such as pigs and cattle. Much like the French, the Cajuns believe that the beast will come after Catholics who did not adhere to the Lenten rules.
Still, so that stayed.
Yeah. One legend says that the person who is cursed as a Rougarou is under a 101-day curse, in which they have those 101 days to transfer the curse to another person by attacking that person, or some say by merely staring into that person's eyes.
Oh, I'll pick option B.
If Pat. They cannot transfer the curse within those 101 days, they will remain a Rougarou for life.
Wow.
It is said the curse can be broken if the attacked person remains silent about their attack for a year and a day, at which time the curse will be broken for both people.
What? Do you look like a Rougarou when you do this attack? So you have, yeah. You're a Rougarou and you got to go attack someone? Do you have to kill them?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, this is kind of like It Follows, except for with Rougarou.
One of the superstitions I didn't mention in my history is one which you can protect yourself from the Rougarou.
Oh, cool.
For protection, you must lay 13 small objects by your doors. The Rougarou will see the 13 objects and try to count them. But apparently... It gets worse. But apparently, after transforming, they lose the ability to count past 12. So oh they God. Get confused, continue to recount the objects all night until the sun comes up and they have to leave.
This is so great.
Isn't that insane? Episode.
So in that culture, the number 13 is good luck.
In a sense, yeah, for the protection, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This dumbass Rougarou. I would be putting like 30 just in case.
Yeah. Since wolves are not native to Louisiana, in some legends, the Rougarou appears to be a large dog. There is a story in particular about a little boy who came across a large, aggressive white dog that attacked him. To protect himself, the boy got a knife he had been carrying in his backpack and stabbed the dog, which caused the creature to transform back into a human. Mm. The person who appeared told the boy that he, the creature, had been cursed to be a Rougarou by the devil, and if the boy was not careful, the same could happen to him. He also told the boy that he could not tell anyone else of the encounter, or again, he would be turned into a Rougarou. Not heeding the warning, the boy began to tell others of his encounter. And after doing so, the boy would disappear from his home at night and reappear the next day with no recollection of what happened during that night.
Wow, this is like what the cheating dad tells his kid. Like, if you tell your mom,
yeah.
The Rougarou, like it's basically a cautionary tale about yeah. gossip.
And after a year, the boy was found dead on the streets, at which time many claimed that he was a Rougarou. Mm. The Rougarou has become so immortalized that every October, which they claim is Rougarou Awareness Month, there is a free family-friendly Rougarou festival in Houma, Louisiana, or Houma, I don't know how to say it. And in New Orleans at the Audubon Zoo, you can find a Rougarou exhibit. And there you have a condensed version of the legend of Louisiana's own werewolf, the Rougarou.
Oh, that's so great. One, two, oh, God. Okay, this is so much fun.
This is a great episode. All right, so I guess we go into Believer or Skeptic now?
Yeah.
All right, so my debunk is actually pretty short because a lot of this is kind of based on things we've done before.
Yeah.
So first for the FIFA late, but still, I mean, there's enough differences where it's amazing. But from a debunk purpose, for the FIFA late, naturally, we are taken back to that swamp gas, which comes into play with a lot of debunks.
Uh-huh.
Those tricky swamp gases. So according to scientists, phosphorescent swamp gas can cause that illusion to appear.
All I hear is swamp ass. Yeah,
it's the swamp ass. And guess what color that swamp ass is? It's blue, which is the exact color of the FIFA lave. So I think you're seeing the phosphorescent swamp gas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, onto the grunge. As weird as it may sound, my debunk comes from a Reddit story.
Oh.
And so you might be like, well, that has no clout, anything. But it actually makes sense, and I thought it was really interesting, and it mm-hmm. comes from the Reddit user Ghost Rougarou.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's super scientific name. It instills confidence in my debunk. But just bear with me. So what Ghost Rougarou says is, when I was a kid, my mom would take me to rides down the infamous Grunch Road, which is right off the Highway 61 and goes all the way to the Mississippi River. I always thought Grunch Road was a hometown story, and as a kid, I was proud of this fact that we had our own scary, strange creature to be proud of. But I came across an article and was surprised and a little bummed to find out that my Grunch Road was not the only Grunch Road.
Oh.
Apparently, there are lots of Grunch Roads around southeast Louisiana.
Interesting.
And I'm betting a lot of them spawned up because of that name.
Uh-huh.
But it said, I guess the story was passed down, and you would just reference the most dreadful road near you.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So it just became like the new Elm Street.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Back to Freddy.
Yeah.
As I kept rereading, I realized that my Grunch Road wasn't even the original Grunch Road.
Oh.
Right? So after reading and letting it marinate, my theory is that some local parents or even older kids started telling the story as either a precautionary tale or to scare your friends mm-hmm. and then adding their own twist to it. So I was like, well, that's kind of an interesting debunk. There's not just one Grunch Road. There's a lot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So for my Believer, I'm going to go a little bit different, down a different path, and kind of come up with my own theory.
Ooh.
Perhaps the Honey Island Swamp Monster and the Rougarou are one and the same. To me, descriptors of both creatures sound equally familiar. That would also give more credibility to the creature, since the Honey Island Swamp Monster sightings seem to be more rare, you know? That being said, I also wanted to look into why people believe in werewolves. You see, werewolves can be found in almost every culture. Stories go back as far as ancient Mesopotamia, when there is the mention of such a creature in the Epic of Gilgamesh from around 2100 BCE. Then we find stories within Greek and Norse mythology regarding such creatures as well. Needless to say, werewolves are old as fuck. So what perpetuated this myth? I tend to believe this theory I found. According to the writer, rabies may have been an inspiration. Because rabies, for one, is transmitted through biting, and if the rabies gets real bad and is not treated, it can lead to dementia and aggression, basically deeming the afflicted a wild animal, you know? So imagine even just 100 years ago, someone gets attacked by a dog, and a couple weeks later, they start acting like a total lunatic, you know? Sounds like a plausible explanation to me, such as the story of the boy that I told earlier about him, you know.
Right, yeah.
With that, too, imagine someone goes on a murderous rampage. What better scapegoat than to plead being a werewolf, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Of course, this was more plausible in early days, some which led to the werewolf trials, leading to the death of many innocent victims, I'm sure, just like the witch trials. Speaking of lunacy, the term itself comes from lunaticus, which means of the moon or moonstruck, which relates to the belief that the moon can cause changes in people, such as with the werewolf. This is a superstition that is still held to this day. I mean, how often do you hear someone say, it must have been a full moon or something like that?
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, werewolves or were animals in general have been instilled in our culture, and whether they are real or not, they seem to be a staple in all cultures. With stories dating as far back as they do, it is no wonder that those beliefs are still held tried and true.
Awesome. Do you believe in a Rougarou or something out there?
I mean, yeah. I don't know if like a half human, because it, like that kind of hybrid. But I like I always say, there's so much stuff out there that have still been unidentified. I think something could be out there. Not only that, I mean, this. Yeah, it's folklore and it's been passed down. But I think there's some credibility to it as well. You know?
Okay. Wow. Cool. Ooh, yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. So now for Creep of the Week, we have a story, don't we?
Yeah, the Creep of the Week. This week we have a story from listener Aaron.
Aaron.
I'll just get into it. He says, hey guys, this is Aaron. I am the guy who sent the Gettysburg stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are good.
I've been remembering some stories I wanted to share, but this time I want to tell you about something I am currently experiencing.
Ooh.
First, some backstory. At the end of March, I lost my job. Yay, COVID.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Unable to find one, my brother offered me a job, but it required me to move back to New Jersey and live with him for the time being. When my brother purchased the house, a neighbor came to him and told him about the guy that had lived here before him. The house was owned by a mentally disturbed individual. He had been selling drugs out of the house, was constantly paranoid, and would constantly call the cops on the others in the neighborhood for random things that were not true, like disconnecting the power to the well of his house, for example. He eventually committed suicide in the house, either by hanging himself from the shower head in the bathroom or by hanging himself from the stairs that fold up into the attic. I believe it is the latter, only because the shower head is too close to the ground and would be very difficult to hang oneself from there. Lately, I have been experiencing weird things at night. I hear noises in my room like something is being moved. Twice now, I had a fold-up chair just randomly fall over after being leaned up against the wall. A few weeks ago, my brother came to my door at 3 in the morning. He said he was woken from sleep after hearing someone scream and a loud crash.
Whoa!
He thought it was me and wanted to check on me. I told him no, and I did not hear anything as my bedroom is right next to his. A few days later, I am suddenly woken by what sounded like someone violently banging on my bedroom window. Thinking my brother or sister-in-law locked themselves out, I got up and went to the living room to let them in. When I got there, they were both watching TV.
Oh, shit.
I asked if either knocked and they said no, nor did they hear anything. My brother tells me of a night when he was watching TV. His dog laying at his feet asleep, woke, looked at the doorway coming from the dining room. My brother said he didn't see anything. The dog's head panned to the left slowly as if watching somebody walk to the other doorway. Then put his head down and went back to sleep.
It was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. The stairs to the attic are right outside my bedroom window, bedroom door. I get an uneasy feeling sometimes when I open my door at night to use the restroom. I'm just waiting for something to be there at night in my face where the body would have been hanging. That's all for this email. I have more stories, but I'll have to save them for another time, Aaron.
Yeah, keep us updated on this, because that's really interesting. I was trying to gather from that if y'all just learned that the place had that guy who committed suicide.
History, yeah.
And, or if that's something then that your brother actually didn't know for a while and you just learned because you just moved in there.
Yeah.
Or not. And then if that, if you just learned about it, if the weird stuff started right after that, or if it had been ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to figure out what's going on, because that's really, really crazy. Well, I hope that the job there is working out.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, COVID sucks, so that really stinks, but hopefully things will work out. Things will be better.
Yeah. So thank you guys. Thank you. This was a lot crazier than I thought. And
yeah, this was great.
Yeah. And that story was great, Aaron. So if anybody else wants to send us a story, please do. We'd love to hear from you. By email, or send us a voice memo, whatever. By email, you can reach us at bspodphx@gmail.com. You can also find us on all your podcatchers. So share this podcast if you like us. And if you want to hear more. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at bspodphx.
Yeah, yeah. Again, if you enjoyed this episode, and I mean, hopefully you will, because, oh my God, that was crazy and hilarious. That's the greatest gift you can give us, is to tell a friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
We appreciate that. On the other hand, if you want something that's not appreciated, my books, The Gay Teen's Guide to Defeating a Siren, as always, are available. And book 3 is actually up for pre-order. You can now pre-order the Kindle version. And again, it's launching on 2/1. So we're less than 2 weeks away from book 3 launch. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. So I am excited about that. I'm excited about this episode. So it's going to be an exciting time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. We hope you had a good time. If anyone is from Louisiana, any of our listeners, or just from anywhere in the Cajun country, and you want to weigh in on any of this, reach out to us.
Or if you have any other folklore stories that we don't know about, because there's so much more.
There's so much more. Tell us, and we could do a follow-up. We would love that.
Yeah.
So yeah, with that, everyone have a wonderful evening, and bye.
See you again next time.